Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Outside, it was pitch black, so dark that I could hardly see anything as I stared through the window. I wondered how it would feel to walk alone in the dark.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Listening for sounds of some horror like supernatural manifestation. I chuckled. Of course, I was likely to see none. I left the window and turned back to the screen. There was a movie playing. It's past my best part, I grumbled before taking the remote to rewind it back. At 25, I was fascinated with the zombies and ghosts, the boogeyman, everything that I had been thought to fear as a kid. Over the years, the fear had worn off, and in its place, this wonder grew. I wondered if any of it was true, the scary stories we were told. Then I toyed with the idea of reaching out to these supernatural entities myself, but my thoughts were merely idle wishes. I watched zombies tear through some survivors' defenses on the TV and rolled my eyes. Too predictable, I thought before I turned to my phone. I had been chatting with someone on Omegle and could not stop wondering what she looked like. Eva, that was her name. It was already late. Still, I initiated a call and waited. Maybe she was not sleeping. Maybe she was feeling as bored as I was and would be happy I had called to save her from that. I waited for a while. Just when I thought there would be no response from the other end, the screen of my phone brightened and someone stared back at me. Her eyes were wide open as she took me in. I did the same, and we did not speak for a while. Okay, she was beautiful. She had a full head of jet black hair, eyebrows that arced over her eyes, and lazy, long eyelashes hanging just over her brown eyes. "You didn't tell me you would call," she said finally. My tongue was still stuck to the roof of my mouth while my mind captured her face. "You know what time it is?" she asked again. She was looking at me curiously now. "Late," I managed to say. "And yet you called." She did not seem angry at all. On the contrary, there was a sly smile forming at the edges of her lips. "You're not mad?" I asked. "No." "So will you come over then?" I asked. We chatted about it, and I knew it was a foolish thing to do, but I had given her my address. The light from the light bulb flickered. "What was that?" she asked. Staring at this bulb instead of her eyes, I replied. "I don't know. I think something shifted." I was back to staring into her eyes again in no time. There was an eagerness in those eyes. "What are you doing? What's that sound?" she asked. "Oh, a movie. A horror movie," I quickly added. We had also chatted about horror movies not being frightening enough and having forced plots. "Is it good?" "Well, I would give it a 5. "Really?" "Yeah, solid 5 out of 10. "Well, that's not so solid. Let me see." I turned the phone's camera toward the TV screen, marveling at how well the both of us were relating, even though we were already chat buddies. It was strange for me seeing her act the exact same way she types. People were hardly like that. "Zombies," she said, laughing. "Come on, it's not..." The light flickered again. This time, the TV screen flickered with it. Then the lights went out. In the ensuing darkness, I was stunned with my phone still showing the silhouette of the TV to Eva. The silence that came with the darkness made my beating heart sound like a resounding echo through some unending void. "What just happened?" Eva asked. Her voice startled me. I turned the phone to myself, almost letting it slip out of my hand. She was still there, looking concerned. "I don't know," I said slowly. A sudden static sound from the TV made me jump. When I turned to the screen, it was still dark. The lights were still off. "Are you all right, Nathan?" Eva asked. I nodded, eyes still focused on the direction of the TV. Maybe I was going mad. But was it supposed to happen so quickly? As if in response to my question, I saw it. A twirling, smoke-like shadow coming off the TV. I could barely make it out in the dark room. But after I did, I could feel my heart rate begin to slow down. The TV had probably gone bananas and was now smoking. That explained the static sound, I insisted. But what about the light? "Should I call you back later?" Eva asked. No, I stammered, looking into my phone. Thank goodness she was still on Omegle. I wanted to talk with her until I was sleepy. It was difficult admitting it, but I was suddenly scared. I was in an apartment all by myself, and I had never quite felt this vulnerable. "Are you sure?" she asked. My eyes entirely on her face, I nodded. She could make out some features of my face with the light from the phone screen. The static sound came again, and I froze. The smoke was coming off the TV frame once more. This time, another shape followed it. The phone slipped from my hand and crashed to the floor. The shadow moved to the side, and another shadow slipped out from behind the TV frame. I had had enough. Nathan, are you okay? What's going on? Eva's voice faded into the background as I raced from the room down the hallway. The shadows were in the way of the exit, and there was nothing I could do except to find refuge further inside the apartment. I found the door to another room, pulled it open, and slammed it shut. Immediately I got in, engaging the bolts just as fast. Then I backed myself into the wall at the other end slowly, my eyes never leaving the door. It seemed my apartment was the only one without light. From the vent, 7 feet above and behind me, some illumination filtered in, making the room semi-dark. My back was against the wall, and yet I would not stop pushing. Something slammed into the door from the other side, and I shivered. Whatever it was, I prayed for it not to be able to get in here, as it slammed itself against the door again and again. Then everything became quiet. I listened, my breath stuck in my throat. All thoughts of my video chat on Omegle with Eva. A little movement at the door sent my heart into fluttering beats. The shadows, they were slipping in through the gap between the door and the floor. The shadow was getting bigger, blotting out the little lighting in the room. I shut my eyes, tremors washing through my body. "Anybody in here?" My eyes sprang open. The light was back. The room was flooded with brightness. The voice was from the hallway. I could hear footsteps. The sound of the police sirens also traveled up to the room from downstairs. I rushed the door, peeping through the cracks. A couple of policemen were walking along the hallway, looking into the other rooms. Eva must have called the police. My eyes watched the hallway cautiously. There was no sign of the shadow. I heaved a sigh of relief and started looking out for some other peaceful and safe place to move in. You know, searching for a new spot takes time. It has been a week since this whole crazy incident, and I cannot wait to vacate this eerie building.
Did you enjoy the first story? If you did, I would love it if you would subscribe to the channel.
I stared out the window, my heart pounding in my chest, threatening to rip out of its cage. I paced down the floor of my room, occasionally peering through the window blinds. I narrowed my gaze, trying to see through the darkness that fogged outside, but was met only by the blinding darkness. I bit my lips, continuing my pacing again. The soft tap on my window caused me to jerk again. I stared at the window again, fear coursing through my veins. This is sick. How could some wannabe psycho push every trace of sleep from my eyes? I had only logged into Omegle in a desperate attempt to ease up some of the tension. Not like it would be any help, but still, I had to try. Or rather, feeling naughty and horny, I knew there was only one place to get both online in abundance. It had helped, more than ever. It felt great. 1 minute, I was texting a stranger, completely anonymous as Omegle was, and the next I found myself rubbing my pussy behind the cab. The cab driver must have at one point seen me, because as I stepped out, he cast me a look that suddenly made me feel dirty, but I couldn't care less. I'd always been the type of girl to cross the lines just a bit. I made my way inside my apartment, taking off my clothes in the living room. It was then my phone buzzed. I paid no attention to it, tossing it on the couch. I was not really in the mood for any conversations, and exhausted from the long day, I walked towards the bathroom. My phone continued buzzing like the world was coming to an end. I groaned, turning back to the couch. Over 10 messages from a strange number. I opened the text, feeling my face burning. I clicked open the message. My jaw dropped. I blinked, trying to process what I saw. The stranger had sent screenshots of my conversation on Omegle. It is supposed to be anonymous, I thought. Staring at my screen, all my anger replaced with shock. Who the fuck are you? I texted back. He replied immediately. Someone who knows your secret. My anger returned now with so much force, my hands were trembling as I punched on the screen. How the hell did you get my number? Who the bloody hell are you? This time, he took a few seconds before replying. Bloody. That's exactly how this will turn out if you don't do as I say. I blinked, a chill ran through my spine, and all the anger I'd been feeling vanished at the blink of an eye, replaced by a sudden cold that wasn't from the weather or the spinning fan. I had begun typing again when my phone rang. He was calling me. He was fucking calling me. I stared at my phone, unsure of what to do. The call ended. Pick up, love. I tossed the phone to the bed. What was the worst he could do? Double-checking my door, I made my way to the bathroom, casting one glance at my phone. More buzzes. If he was still texting, then I was right to ignore him. Probably some sort of hacker who thought he could scare me. Truthfully, he half succeeded. I pushed my mind away from the thought, telling myself it was just some online prank. But when I stepped out, the room felt different. I scanned the room, wondering if it was my mind just being paranoid. My gaze rested on the door slightly ajar. A chill crawled up my spine as I stared at it. I had closed that door, I knew for sure. I walked carefully to the door, darting my gaze around searching for him. Just as I reached the couch, the sound of my phone caused me to jump out of my skin. I stared at the phone, my mind racing. "What do you want from me?" I said, trying to sound brave, but I knew I'd failed when my voice came out a pitch too high. He chuckled. "You have a nice bedroom," he said. I froze, my eyes bulging out of their socket. He was in my house. I stuttered, unable to find the right words. "Pink blanket you used to cover yourself in. Oh, Lord, your mattress feels so soft." The blood in my veins must have turned to ice by now. I turned around, picking up the knife from the kitchen. I made my way to the bedroom, trying to keep him on the line as I walked stealthily towards him. If I could sneak up on him, if I grabbed a hold of the door's knob, sucked in a deep breath as I pushed the door slowly. I raised the knife, ready to strike as I charged in. The room was empty. My sheets ruffled as though someone had laid on the bed only minutes ago. "Why are you doing this?" I whimpered. "Come on now, don't cry on me. You love getting nasty with strangers, don't you? We could do some nasty stuff." Leave me alone or I'm calling the police, I blurted. Don't you dare. His tone was serious now. By now, I had enough. Without thinking, ended the call and dialed 911. 911, what's your emergency? The operator had barely spoken when the clattering of metal from the kitchen caused me to jerk. He's coming. Oh, God. The scraping of metal on the wall grew louder with each passing second.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Bringing me to my impending doom, I quivered where I stood, cursing the day. There's someone in my house. He's trying to kill me. I cried out to the operator as I hastily rushed to the door, locking it. I pushed away from the door like it was a diseased person, my chest pounding somewhere in my throat now. The sound of the metal scraped near the door, followed by the soft tap. I closed my eyes, opening them almost instantly. I would rather see him coming, thank you very much. I turned around the room, searching desperately for something to save me, then grabbed hold of my bed lamp, holding it tightly around my arms. I waited with bated breath, my eyes fixed on the door. The door swung open. I lurched at him, screaming as I slammed the lamp into him. He collapsed to the ground, writhing in pain. I darted for the door, not glancing back to see if he was standing up or anything, raced out of the house as fast as I could, my heart pounding in my chest. Only when I heard the blaring of sirens did I stop in front of the car, pointing to my apartment, trying desperately to catch my breath.
I switched on my laptop and opened up Omegle for the 10th time in the last 12 hours. It was the only thing to do when there was no one to talk to, especially with a husband like mine who did nothing but nag all the time. I wasn't sure I was guilty of anything he accused me of, but still, I couldn't care less as well. Maybe he found me ugly. I don't know. I opened the website and I started chatting. There was a girl who was 27 years, a year younger than I was, or so I thought, because it's what she put there. I hit escape and then accepted the request of one of the men, and as soon as I did, pictures began to load in our chat page with images of myself doing things. I didn't even know anyone was looking at me during that moment. I looked back in my room because there was another picture of myself right where I sat, wearing what I was wearing at that moment. I stood up and I checked around for any cameras, but there was nothing there. I got confused and I ran out of the room, but ran back to the room to hit escape. But he escaped before I got back to the room, which made me even more confused. I researched for the name online, but it was almost like no use because there were so many people with the name bad_karma. I tried to get my mind off of it and all, and just got busy with other things I found myself doing. The next day, I felt a huge feeling in my heart telling me to wake up. I got up and noticed the red dot from my laptop camera. It was weird because even if I was a computer illiterate, I knew the light meant that the camera was on, and I got up immediately. I knew I didn't switch it on before going to bed. "Stop it," I said to the camera before trying to switch it off. The light came on again immediately after. I yelled back at the camera and switched it off again. It came back on and it went on and on like that until I got tired and just closed the laptop. I knew Omegle is a safe place, a place where you could chat with so many people and socialize, but whoever it was probably trying to get me to read it the other way around. Suddenly, a loud knock hit my door. I jumped out of the bed, and when I checked the time, it was 1 in the morning, which got me more confused because I knew my husband was still going to be playing games by that time or was probably asleep on the couch. "Who is it?" I asked out loud, but there was no reply. I waited for a few seconds, and when no one replied, I went back to bed. Two could play this game if whoever was behind the door wanted to play. The knock came again louder and quite impatient the second time. I ignored it and waited for the person to say something, but there was still no word from the other side. I remained silent as well. Then, a text popped up on my phone, which took my gaze away from the door for a few minutes. The text was filled with letters that could almost move the heart of someone to the other part of their chest. "Blood, end you." The text read the same thing for the first three lines until I made up my mind to open the door and see whoever it was behind it. If I died that way, so be it. I turned the doorknob, and before I could pull the door towards me, the other person on the other end pushed it with so much force that I found myself on the floor. My husband stared back at me with frustration. I immediately felt bad for keeping him outside for so long. "You should have said something about the fact that you were the one behind the door," I told him. "In my house, by 1 a.m, were you expecting someone else?" He gave me a look of disgust. I panicked, thinking about the thoughts running through his mind. "Whatever then," I told him before going back to bed. The continuous sound of my phone woke me up, and just as I was about to pick it up, it stopped. And when I laid it back down again, it started again. My husband hissed continuously and looked so irritated from all the noise. I apologized to him and switched off my phone before going back to bed. I woke up the next morning, still bothered about whoever was behind the disturbance I had been having before now. I noticed my husband was not beside me, but didn't give it so much thought because I just thought he was with our baby. That was going to make sense. According to him, a good wife couldn't wake up by 11 in the morning, especially if she had a child to take care of, but what could I do? It was just how I was. I decided to switch on my laptop and visit Omegle, and was in the process of doing that when I heard my daughter crying. She was not so much of a baby who cried, and by that, I knew something was wrong. I stood up immediately to check up on her, but on getting to the door, I realized that it was locked from inside. I froze for a second. It was always a rule between my husband and I not to lock the door to the crib because of emergencies like the one I had to deal with at this moment. I heard someone struggling to do something in her room, and I just couldn't wait anymore. I searched the whole house for the extra key, and without delay, I opened the door and found my husband on the floor with open boxes next to him. One of the boxes was filled with his clothes, and the other was filled with my daughter's clothes. He stared at me with disgust in his eyes and sworn hatred. He ignored me and picked up his phone. "Hello," I heard my husband say behind me. "Plan spoiled. I can't come to your place with the baby anymore." "Yes, I love you too." He ended the call after that. My heart broke at the last sentence. He loved another person? I knew he didn't like me as much as he did before, but being in love with another person was just an entirely different thing. He didn't say a word to me before he walked out of the room. His laptop gave a quiet sound a few seconds after he left, and I didn't even stop myself from checking whatever it was. He had broken my heart. I could as well know who he did it for. Omegle was open on the screen and clear as day. My username and our chat was displayed on the screen. My heart broke when I realized who he was all along. Bad_karma? I questioned myself in disbelief. I strolled up to see all the pictures he sent me. He was the one who made me so emotionally unstable and toyed with me. I couldn't stop the tears that fell down my cheeks. He walked in later and laughed really hard when he realized that I knew about everything. "Good, now you know the truth, and I see that there's no need for me to confess anymore," he said before picking up his laptop. "I'm leaving the house for you for good," he said and walked out. I heard the door close behind him, and I could only burst into another round of tears.
I continued to pull him, stronger and faster each second that passed, until we got back to our room. I kept a straight face until I was sure we were alone in the room before going into an outburst. He had just seen my crush and my roommate tried to make her notice me, something I didn't like. I was shy, and whenever I wanted to do something, I preferred to do it on my own terms without being forced. "Don't do that again," I told him. "I was only trying to help," he said. "Don't help me. I can do things myself." I plugged my earpiece and turned my back to him before lying down on my bed. It was bad enough that I was really shy, but it only got worse when I got matched with a nosy roommate. He always wanted to know everything, which was too much for me as I liked to keep to myself. A very loud knock on the door made me jump up. I didn't know if my roommate was expecting someone, but he didn't move an inch and looked really scared. "What's wrong?" I asked him. but he stared at me speechless. It was the first time I saw him helpless. He looked different, and I wanted to shake him off whatever he was thinking about, but it piqued my interest. I wanted to know who could make him feel like that, and if I could use their help anytime I needed him to be quiet. I opened the door, and an angry, huge student was staring back at me with his fists tightened. I tried to greet him, but he pushed me to the side. He walked in and searched the room frantically for something until his eyes met my roommate's.
"Oh boy, we meet again. I've been knocking on different rooms trying to get yours, but I'm glad I have."
He walked towards him, and with the posture that he took, I knew whatever was going to happen was not going to end well. I tried to ask what was going on, but neither of them answered me. My roommate, Ken, didn't say anything and didn't move an inch the more the guy moved towards him.
"Omegle is not for people like you. You think I wouldn't find out you were the one sending those disturbing things to me and hiding under the name Invisible Judy? A college boy like me has ears and eyes everywhere."
I was still trying to understand everything the guy said when I heard a loud thud. Ken was down on the floor with blood in his mouth. He tried to get up again, and the guy punched him harder, making him fall harder the second time. I tried to pull the guy aside, but he was too huge for me, and he only pushed me to the wall with little effort. I contacted the college's security as soon as he walked in, and was still expecting them to come around when I heard Ken struggling to breathe. I crawled quickly to Ken's side and tried to keep him awake. The guy looked really disturbed and scared immediately. He was fierce, but seeing what he had done to Ken, he got scared. I scoffed at the sight. He tried to run. When he was met by the securities, they walked in and took as many details as they could before walking the guy out of the room, while some of them attended to Ken and tried to keep him stable.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
I immediately called the ambulance and hoped that Ken lives to see another day.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.